Well, as we resume, we're on page 348, and I think I left off at the point that begins, a target often wants to certify that his accusations are wrong, etc. So that's where we will resume our study. In order to do that, it's customary for us to pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your immutable truth. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide, direct us, and teach us regarding the things we're about to note. As we lift our prayer, in Christ's name, amen. The danger that lurks in the kowtow is manipulation followed by the public confession of repentance, followed by an action to gain forgiveness, and finally, a complete reversion of thought by joining the movement. What is the movement? It's the dark side strategy. I think that it is extremely important for believers to understand that they are in a war. It's the invisible war, and Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer comments on that, as well as many other people whose books you probably have and have read. But I can tell you this, if you can understand this concept, we, since the fall in Eden, we have always functioned in a hostile environment. There's nothing good about anything on planet Earth as it's in its present status. What do I mean by that? I mean that because we have winter and the seasons and all of that, and therefore people live and they die and they don't do this, that, and the other thing. It is a fallen environment and has been since the fall in Eden. And who's running the show in that environment? It is none other than Lucifer himself. He runs this planet. And there are certain people who decide to extract themselves from that environment, and they do so by believing in Christ and then growing in grace with the absolute truth God has provided through his scripture. That's the only way that you can overcome the hostility that is infused in what is called the devil's world. The only way you can have happiness, true happiness in your life is A, be a believer in Christ, and therefore educate your soul in the concepts of absolute truth from Bible study. And that's why we have churches, and therefore the church was founded in Acts chapter 2 and continues to be so until the rapture. This is the place to come. And if you don't come here, or if you don't take advantage of an electronic contrivance, you are a victim in a fallen environment, and you ultimately will crash and burn. That goes for unbelievers and believers. There are many believers who have bought the lie. And you can tell this by the fact that this country is about to implode. Now, Jesus Christ controls history, you know that. But the things that are going on right now do not bode well for the future. But then we don't have prophecy, so people can start dropping dead Tuesday. That need to be taken out. But who are we to say who needs to be taken out? Why did we get here? How was it that the chaos that has been emerging and therefore solidifying over the last 2+ years, what's going on there, and why is it people in authority are getting away with it? Here's something I can't grasp, really, as an example. How is it that people can gather on the lawn of a Supreme Court justice and threaten their lives and nobody does anything about it? So that is one indicator of the loss of thought in a client nation. You can't threaten Supreme Court justices. By the way, they're appointed for life. You can't get rid of them unless they die. Maybe that's what they've got on their minds. The danger that lurks in the kowtow is manipulation followed by a public confession of repentance, followed by an action to gain forgiveness, and finally a complete reversion of thought by joining the movement. This system of propaganda has worked beautifully by totalitarian regimes for centuries, and the elements of the process are found in James 4:1, which introduces the chapter with an example. What is now going on in the streets of America is the result of the loss of thought that has been a creeping disease for a century and is a good example of James 4:1 on a national scale. So what we can discern and therefore conclude from our studies of Scripture is that if you take a look at the Old and New Testaments and the rise and fall of those who were positive to the Word of God and then went negative, the Jews did that in priest nations, they all failed. Then in the first century AD, we have the emergence of a client nation. Client nation means we're clients of God in the hostile environment of the devil's world. And therefore, it emerged and then moved westward. And systematically over time, gospel's missionary journey, you see, over time, all the way to Great Britain. And then it got its problems. Therefore, people decided, no, we don't have to put up with this. Why don't we go to the New World? And that's what they did. Bless their hearts. They chose Massachusetts somehow. And that's how they came here. And there we started an entire new process. And that process culminated, get this, not the Declaration. That's all fine. It means we're not putting up with this any longer. That's what the Declaration is. Then there is the Constitution. And Patrick Henry stood up and all of these confabs that they had over structuring our Constitution, we have to have a Bill of Rights. There were a lot of people, especially in Virginia, and that's where Henry was, that didn't think that was even necessary. We are setting up a government that cannot in any way have any flaws. We've thought all through this. And he kept saying, that's what we understand presently right now, but then time will pass, others will come and replace us, and they may bring with themselves bad ideas. Let's lock this down. And they agreed on 10 of them. And fairly quickly after that, a couple of years, they added the 11th and 12th. Were it not for those first 10 amendments, we would have been, let's just say, in a garbage heap decades ago. And they're trying to get rid of it presently. They're trying to disassemble the Bill of Rights. And when they do that, get your fork, buddies, and stick it in because we're done. Why am I berating all of this to you today? Your freedom to come here and study the Word of God is online. And by that, I don't mean online on the internet. I mean the line drawn in the dirt. The only thing that can overcome this is to replace what has been lost. What has been lost is the thought, and the thought is the Word of God, and the Word of God's in Scripture, and the system God put in place in Acts chapter 2 is the church. And the church is where you come to get immutable information that never in any, there is not one semicolon out of place in what the Bible has to say about how you are to think and therefore function. It's absolute truth. Now, you may be asking the question, why are you bloviating about this today? Heck, we're here. So get on with your subject. Okay. I get it. But you're going to find, one more comment, you're going to find in the review of James chapter 4, right out of the streets of America. So let's proceed and see how it plays out. What are the pleasures sought for over which mobs now wage war in the streets? Primarily power. And the methods used to acquire it consist of whatever works. The evidence is broadcast, telecast, published, and tweeted daily. Talk about a problem, that tweet deal here. I told you when all of this started, maybe a decade ago, I said, the tweet is evil. And then there's some other things, tweet-esque, I don't remember what they all are. But when you get to, when you're tweeting, you have decided to join the chaos. You say, well, I put Bible verses in it. Right. The key word in verse 1 that illustrates this process, whether among believers in a local church or rebellious people in the streets of a client nation, is the verb stratuo, to wage war. These types function under reverse process reversionism. Now, do I need to read this? We've seen it before. What is the current zeitgeist in client nation America? Why are the attitudes and opinions that are now being applied by the vast majority of the citizens of this country, this right here? What is this? It says reverse process. So if it's reverse process reversionism, then it's characterized by the total influence of evil and the substitution of Satan's plan for God's plan. Would you not agree with that? Satan's cosmic system is so powerful and devious that the reversionistic believer becomes divorced from reality. So if you're not in the Word, and therefore the concepts and ideas from the dark side are so communicated in such a, what shall we say, flowery way, that you can suck the ignorant in. This is the thing that needs to be done or not done or whatever. And so you go with that. Christian degeneracy reaches its peak in reverse process reversionism. Reverse process means to face in the opposite direction, to reverse course, to invert beliefs by a turnabout of thinking. That goes on in the soul. Nobody could know any better. Do you know what other people are thinking? No. But what is it they decide to do? In reverse process reversionism, all true values are pushed aside and priorities are inverted. In other words, the reversionist spurns that which he should love and loves that which he should spurn. That's an inversion of thought. Therefore, reverse process reversionism is the status quo of unrestrained and perpetual sinfulness, fragmentation, and extensive cosmic involvement. The believer is brainwashed by satanic propaganda. There's an entire set of networks whose primary concern and goal and mission is to tell you the lie with straight faces. And people who do not have a filter believe the lie. What's the filter? The Word of God. In this stage, he is described as one, a hater of God, John 15:23. An enemy of God, James 4:4. See, we're almost there. 3, double-minded or in a state of spiritual schizophrenia, James 4:8. Isn't it interesting how James is popping up? Ha ha. 4, anti or against Christ, 1 John 2:18-22. And 5, a disciple of the devil. 1 John 3:8-10. How do you get to be a disciple of the devil and be a believer in Jesus Christ? How do you get there? You don't go to Bible class, but when you go to Bible class, you all stand up and tell everybody how much wonderful it is to see you, and then sing 15 hymns, and then the guy stands up, not looking professional. That's just my opinion, but I see these guys on TV, they call themselves pastors, and they look like they just got back from the gym. Sand sweat, of course. and these guys are the pastors. And then they give a little bloviation of some kind, and then they sing a song or two, and then they meander their way out and feeling good about everything they've done that day. And you say, why are you here criticizing those dear people that sought their, let's say, spiritual information from this church? It's their business. Now, I'm trying to tell you that the client nation can't survive on everybody sitting around singing songs without any Bible study. So I'm up in Sandusky, went to see Andy graduate from this high school she went to. So she apparently crossed her T's and dotted her I's, and they said, you can graduate, so we're going to watch this. So we go to a church. They finally found a church other than the denominational types. They said, this is the best we've been able to figure out what to do up here. So we went, and the guy that was a pastor, there are two pastors, and it's Pastor A, say. And so Pastor A was teaching that day, and he taught some things, excuse me, from the book of Acts. And everything that man had to say was okay. There was absolutely nothing wrong with anything he said. I listened closely. And I'm saying, well, we're in Sandusky, Ohio. Shannon and Chris have done the best they can to vet the area to see what is available to them to go to face-to-face on a regular basis. And this was the guy they found. One of the guys, I don't know what the other guy, I'm sure he was fine too. But they rotate apparently. And so this guy took his text in Acts. And when he got through with it and put the last period on it, and that was it. We stood and sang something and we all went home. So that's in Sandusky, Ohio, and Shannon and Chris had to put on a search for something face-to-face that they could go to on a regular basis and not feel like that they'd wasted their time. And they asked me what I thought. I said, I thought he did great. There was nothing he said that I could argue with. He made his points. He went through the passage. He had a conclusion. And I'm telling you that he's fine with me. I can't argue with this. The only thing that I would have issue with is the consistency of the message. Okay? Look, I've got a Bible around here somewhere. I could flop that thing open to a chapter and make sure it's a short chapter and take you through the short chapter over a course of maybe 3 or 4 Sundays. Okay? And then that's over with, and then you go with something else, which is okay. I just chose, look, I was indoctrinated. I was indoctrinated in exegesis. The real truth is found buried in the languages. And I think they did use one Greek word. That was good. Headed over on the overhead. So I was thinking, that's good. But the truth is found in the original languages. And then when you find that, and I've told you, if you even on the page we're on, stratuo, see that? It's a verb, to wage war. What's the war here? Well, I'll tell you at the bottom of the page. My point is that we're looking at a book in the Bible, and in my opinion, it's the first one. It could be second because some people think it's Galatians, but I think it's James. And so I don't even remember when we started James chapter 1. It's been a long time. But my point in deciding to do an entire book is that let's take a one that's short enough so that maybe I won't die before we're done and go through that word by word, sentence by sentence, and then infuse along the way the doctrines and principles that embellish those particular passages of Scripture. And continue to do it. And I've told you the whole book of James really can be described in one term, the doctrine of reversionism. And it turns out the doctrine of reversionism is actually being played out before us in client nation America. James, the doctrine of reversionism. And we've made it now through four chapters, and we're going back to review it. And in the interim of starting James chapter 4, verse 1, we see more evidence of what was true in the first century being played out yet once again in 21st century America. Everything we're seeing is brand new as far as this country is concerned. Brand new. Yet James is talking about it in the first century, 20 centuries ago. Where am I, Henry? I bloviated. Oh, I made it that far. Well, that's gratuito. That's the wage war. You got that. Okay. Reverse process reversionism, and I have put that up here and told you what it means. And what does it mean? It means James. These types function under reverse process reversionism. Number one, the believer in reverse process reversionism cannot be distinguished from the believer though he cannot lose his salvation. Can't lose his salvation, but he can be stupid. Secondly, the person suffers reversal of objects so that bona fide subjects of one's affection are rejected by those who are quite the opposite. Number three, his soul's degeneracy causes abandonment of biblical norms and standards while aggrandizing those in opposition to them. Four, the result is a process of a lifestyle of sinfulness while living inside the cosmic systems. Five, there are numerous categories of this decline, but some that are common indicators of the problem include. I got some verses for you. I'll read them off and then we'll take them independently. Number one, legalism, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Two, perversions and antinomianism, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21. Three, habitual arrogance, 1 Timothy 6, 4. Point four, Paul's litany of deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And five, rejection of the laws of liberty in a priest or client nation, Hosea 4, 1 through 6. Now let's take a look at these. Let's take a look at legalism. That's point one. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. In the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Perversions and antinomianism. 2 Corinthians 12:21. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. First century. Three, habitual arrogance. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 4. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. Four, Paul's litany of deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh, that's the sin nature, are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then, rejection of the laws of liberty, Hosea 4, verses 1 through 6, which brings us to the next paragraph. These and many other manifestations of reverse process reversionism are evident in the decline and fall of Israeli priest nations and during the church age of many Gentile client nations. These and many other manifestations of reverse process reversionism are evident in the decline and fall of Israeli priest nations and during the church age, many Gentile client nations. I wanted to read that sentence again. That's where we are. Hosea 4, verse 1 and following. Hear and obey. This would be a priest nation concept in the Old Testament. Hear and obey the Lord's doctrinal analysis, children of Israel. For the Lord has a charge, that's reeve, to accuse in a court to a jury, and therefore this is an indictment. The Lord has an indictment against the citizens of the priest nation because there is nothing of doctrine being taught. That's the absence that you have emeth. Taught doctrine being taught means emeth or truth, nor grace, that's keseth, mercy, kindness, justice, being applied. So none of that is being applied, nor is there knowledge of God in the land. Hear that? There's no knowledge of God in the land. Loss of thought, verse 2. Instead, there is lying, that would be perjury in context, and deceiving, and murder, and stealing, and rape, which means breakdown of law and order. There is violence in the land as blood reaches out and touches blood, which means mob rule in the streets of the cities. You ever seen that before? Recently? For this reason, breakdown of law and order, the priest nation mourns of all. Anticipation of divine judgment. See, we mourn the client nation because we see the signs and they're in the streets. And everyone who lives in it shall languish. That's amal, to sink under sorrow or continued passion. Footnote 6, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 3a. Wanted to note that. Along with the animals of the field and birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, nobody escapes. Verse 4. Let no reversionist try to challenge the authority of someone who communicates doctrine. Wow. That's a change of pace. Let no reversionist try to challenge the authority of someone who communicates doctrine. Your people are like those of the northern kingdom who try to destroy the authority of the priesthood. Verse 5, therefore, you have stumbled into reversionism in the daylight during the time when doctrine was being taught. Now, if there's widespread communication of truth, and there are those within the priest nation who had the opportunity to grow in grace, chose not to do so when it was therefore easy to go hear it. There are no restrictions. They chose not to go hear the priesthood teach. And the prophet will stumble with you in the darkness of night. That's collective reversionism. And I will destroy by means of the fifth cycle of discipline your mother. It's the word M, metaphorical for the client nation and its protection that reversionism destroyed. Verse 6. My priest nation is destroyed because of lack of knowledge of doctrine. because you have rejected spiritual truth and its application. Therefore, I will reject you from being my priest nation. Since you have rejected doctrines of your God, I will ignore your descendants. Now, it's not six verses, chilling. You got grandchildren? They will be ignored. Why? There are exceptions, quite obviously, but in the context you will see that there is a shrinkage of the pivot. And therefore, there are those who have been propagandized by the lie. They believe the lie to be true, and therefore, they are victims of the failure of the preceding organization, which is the citizens of the nation of Israel. Israel lost the thought. The children bought it as the truth, and they too must suffer from what their forebears created. Won't bore you with this because you've seen it before, but this is the summary. Summary of Hosea. The first cycle, the second, the third. Well, let's just take a look at the third cycle while we're here. Violence and breakdown of law and order. Severe restriction of travel and commerce. Really? We have interstates that go everywhere and we were restricted on using them? Fourth cycle, military conquest and or foreign occupation, scarcity of food reduced to 1/10 normal supply, separation of families. So where does that put us in client nation America? We are slowly but surely moving into the fourth cycle. Not there fully yet, but there's the strategy of the dark side. Military conquest or foreign occupation. All right, fifth cycle, destruction of the nation due to maximum rejection of biblical principles. Why? Due to maximum rejection of biblical principles. That's what takes everything down. So you say, do you think, you look up at me and you say, is there anything you can do about this? Look, we do have double figures today, so I'm encouraged by that. But we have to have more people throughout the doctrinal churches in America. What is the percentage of those who potentially could be a part of the pivot? I'm just asking. I'm not asking for you to reply. I'm asking for you to consider. An ever-growing number of rebels within client nation America is rapidly leading this nation into a divine court proceeding during which the ultimate prosecutor will indict them before his bar of justice, and there will be collateral damage. That's what the Hosea passage means. And the youngsters who've been propagandized and taught 55 different pronouns that a person can claim to be theirs. And that's their business, by the way. I don't care how they decide. I am under the impression that there are scientific ways to determine whether a person is male or female. I was taught that in some kind of class I had in high school. And I went to a high school where the people in the community, Troy, Alabama, had spawned and had got children, and some were girls and some were boys, and they all went to the same school, Troy High. And we all got together Monday through Friday. And the teachers taught us subjects, and one of them had to do with whatever it was. I'm going to say biology because I really wasn't paying much attention to the name of the class I was in. But nevertheless, we learned that there are boys and there are girls. And that was clearly evident to all of us. clearly evident. And no one doubted that Maureen was a girl becoming a woman, and Fred was a boy becoming a man. That was never addressed to us. And it wasn't because they were behind the times and didn't realize what was really going on. It was, these are the facts before us, and this is exactly who these people are in the classroom. We have girls and we have boys. And there were feminine pronouns. Now, I don't know if you have to be careful anymore about what you say, that you use the wrong pronoun. But then also, there are multiple pronouns now. So you can get caught using the right pronoun in the wrong place. This is called chaos. And if you wonder why are they doing this, in order to break down a society, you have to create chaos, and then you rebuild it afresh in the way they want it. Everything has a strategy. I think I left off at this point. It is common enough for unbelievers to advance into reversionism. Once there, they're easily led into criminal behaviors which their handlers use to facilitate the breakdown of law and order. So are we seeing the breakdown of law and order now? Oftentimes by the parents of children, because they're trying to force feed the idea that they have a son, but he now is a woman and he wants the right pronouns to go with it. Okay? Now, if you are dealing with that as parents and your spawn is now changing his identity, then you've got to figure out some way to deal with that. So what is the end result of that? It's chaos. Whatever you see going on presently in our society is evident that this doesn't make any sense, and you are right about that, and they know it. To break down a society, you have to disassemble it, and then you rebuild it in the way that you want it. And anybody that argues is going to be shouted down and things of that nature. But don't think that what they're doing is stupid. What they're doing is brilliant. Lucifer's not a dummy. He's running this show. He knows what he's doing, and the standards that this nation was built on and therefore functioned very nicely for centuries. That has to be torn down. And if it sounds stupid, believe me, they want stupidity to precede what they're going to infuse to replace it. Don't doubt that. Those in authority are expected to restore order by whatever means available to restore peace and order in the nation. So how do you restore the order? You come up with your new idea, and then you force feed it on the population. Failure to do their duty means they have been propagandized to kowtow to the mob. It remains to be seen how this chapter in our client nation's history plays out. So we've got James 4:1 reads this way. What is the source of hostility, and what is the source of fisticuffs and Donnybrooks among you? Is not the source of your insatiable desire for sensual pleasures that wage war in your compartments of your soul? You lust, and you do not have, so you commit murder. We saw that in the streets of this nation about 18 months ago. People were being murdered, and no one was arrested. Had a guy downtown who was a retired policeman trying to guard a friend's store during all the chaos. He was murdered in the streets of St. Louis. There were many others. So this verse brings James's indictment of his parishioners. who have deviated from the standards of doctrine he's been teaching. He starts off with a bang by accusing them of having lust, and that's the present active indicative of the verb epithumeo, to lust or covet. Now, this, when you have a lust pattern is something that a person has in his soul that is going to aggrandize him in some way, and he doesn't care one whit about whether it's a good or a bad idea in the society. I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. So the present tense is iterative, which describes an event as repeatedly happening. So what kind of event is it? Something that is repetitious. So what we see today in our society is things that are repetitious over and over and over again to where it becomes normal. That's the whole strategy. This use of the present is different from the customary present in terms of time frame and regularity. The intervals are shorter with the iterative and less regular. So the present tense is iterative. That describes an event that repeatedly happens. Get that? All right. The use of the present is different from the customary present in terms of time frame and regularity. The intervals are shorter with the iterative than the regular, which is less. Now, to include the iterative, we translate the word keep on lusting. These are several lust patterns typical of those who habitually deploy them. James has by now become a source of authority on the improper use of the tongue. So James 4 begins with emphasis on the soul's propensity to welcome in the agent provocateur of the sin nature. So we have this right here. You have fifth columns. You know what a fifth column is. You have agent provocateur. That's the way you pronounce that. Definition at the bottom. So we have the fifth column infiltrates from outside the body. They do this through doctrines of demons, bought as the truth, you see. Human viewpoint, human good and evil from cosmic philosophies and strategies, progressive ideology, globalism, categories of sins that deconstruct the culture of the client nation. Okay, then internally you have agent provocateur. Now at the bottom of the page that is described with a definition, with pronunciation, agent provocateur. One employed to associate himself with members of a group, okay, and by pretending sympathy with their aims, encourage them to commit illegal and harmful acts. That's from Webster's. So agent provocateur, from the lust pattern, penetrate the soul, giving the sin nature control over thought, decision, and action. And incorporated into all of this is the old sin nature, which is the fifth column inside the body. And the sin nature is in the body, and therefore it runs the show if you don't have something to quell it, like establishment viewpoint or Bible doctrine. And so in a fallen society, one that is falling, then the lie is presented as the truth. And you propagandize the believers to do that because they don't have the doctrine to refute it. So this, the intrinsic and extrinsic fifth columns, it comes from the outside, it comes from the inside. That's the idea here. So chapter 4 begins with emphasis on the soul's propensity to welcome in the agent provocateur of the sin nature. Lust is a word that describes the problem, but the separate categories are patterns, primarily lust patterns. The more favored lust patterns are facilitated in the paths of least resistance and therefore are more commonly practiced as opposed to others referred to less frequently. In other words, you facilitate certain lust patterns, not so much in others. There are three major categories of sin that are involved in at least seven major lust patterns welcomed into the human soul. They are deployed by the sin nature, whose strategy is to get the individual to entertain a period of time outside the bubble. The more prolonged the absence, the better. So if you get outside the bubble, all you're doing is playing their ball game, and you're buying the lie from the dark side. The only way to correct this is to admit the fact that you've been led astray, confess any sins involved, get back with the program, and keep moving. If you don't have the inventory, then you're done. Stick a fork in it. So since this issue kicks off chapter 4, we are required to give it a summary examination, and so we will do so by the study of an overview of the sin nature's lust patterns. If you're wondering what your lust patterns are and you don't know yet, we'll take that up on Wednesday evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering here freely to study your immutable word, to acquire its concepts, ideas, and warnings so that we might be able to access these concepts in order to fight off the concepts and ideas of the dark side, therefore to be free to move forward in your perfect plan by inculcating your immutable word into our souls. Thank you for the challenge as we lift our prayer. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. We'll stand and sing, "Guide me over thy great Jehovah," and we'll dismiss afterwards.